Hello.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. Why don't we pray and then we'll get started. God, thank you for letting us be here this morning. Thank you that that you are good and that you are king and that you are in charge and that you love us. So now, God, we would ask that you would speak to us through the words that you spoke to Joshua. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this morning we were going to start a new series, but you'll have to come back next week. That's a good thing about this, right? There's always next week. Until Jesus comes back, then there will be no next week. But anyway, assuming that doesn't happen, come back next week because we're going to start a 9-part series that goes in order and builds on itself. It's not a collection of, sometimes series are, you know, if you miss one, you get caught up the next week. What we're going to do next week is look at something that starts in week 1, ends in week 9, and goes, or week 8, I don't know, we'll find out, goes together, builds on itself, and the name of it is Foundations, a Baseline of Christian Belief. And we want to look at the things that are just fundamental, that should be kind of be the foundation in our belief structure, that everything else that we do and everything else we believe in relation to God comes out of what we believe about these things. So it's going to be interesting. And it's going to be very, very helpful, I think. So be around. A little side note, you know how last year we did some filming during one of the series? We're planning on filming during this series, so like in the weddings, if you have any objections to that, speak now, not now, but tell Jim between now and next week, because then it'll be too late and we'll be started. So, but don't object. Okay. Are we good? Now, what I wanted to do this week was kind of take a week and just look at one passage of Scripture and dive into it and see how it might connect with our lives. You know how there's God kind of leads us and we feel a direction that we should go in from God, and He moves us down a certain path, and we wrestle with it and we pray about it and we talk to people, and but then there's a time where we have to just say yes or no, or I'm in, and we have to make a decision. We have to do something. We have to put a step forward and go wherever God is leading us into. There's moments for that, and I think the passage we're going to look at today sets us up very well for us to think about, okay, what me individually, you individually, what has God been pushing me to do? What direction has God been pushing me into? And this passage would lead us to say, okay, I'm gonna take a step. I'm going to stop thinking about it and weighing it and praying about it, and I'm just gonna do it. So let's get into the Word, and we'll see where it takes us. Joshua 1:1-5. We'll start with a little bit of the narrative. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, if you remember, just kind of a little context, the last book ended, Deuteronomy. God takes Moses up to a mountain and says, look over there. Last 40 years, you've been walking around waiting for a generation to die because they disobeyed me. You've been walking around the desert waiting to go into that promised land. Do you see it, Moses? You see it? We're on the edge of it. You're almost there. It's incredible. You're going to die. Like, not in the future, right now. I brought you up here so you could see it, and then you're going to die. And Joshua is actually going to take the people across the Jordan River and into the land, and it's going to be awesome for them, but you get to see it. So Moses died. They, I think it was a month, they spent the time of grieving as a community, and then Joshua took over where Moses left off. The Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. Remember the Jordan River that was between them, the desert, and the promised land? You and all this people into the land I'm giving them to the people of Israel. This wasn't a new story. The God had told them when they were in Egypt, He had actually told Abraham, your descendants will fill this land. And then when they were in Egypt, the Israelites had hope and then lost hope. And then Moses came through, God sent Moses back to say, hey, now it's time. Now it's time to go and, as a people, take that land. And so they went across the desert, and because of disobedience, had to walk around in circles for a while. But finally they were there, and God said, my plan, my story hasn't changed. I'm taking you into that land. And Joshua, you're the one who is now going to guide the people into that land. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, just as I promised Moses. So it's the whole land. It's as you walk through it, as you fight through it, as you go through it, everywhere you go, it's going to be yours. In fact, it already is. You see the past tense of that verb? I have given to you. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. He comes to Joshua and says, okay, very sad, Moses is dead. Now, I'm still moving. I'm still working. There's stuff to do. It's not dependent on a man. It's dependent on me. I'm working. I'm moving forward. And he comes to Joshua and he gives him a task to do. He gives him something that he wants him to do. And isn't it true that God does the same thing with us? As we move in our relationship with God, God comes to us and says, hey, there's something else I want you to do. There's another step I want you to take. Kind of four big areas. I want you to get these categories in your mind because I think these are the categories that God tends to move us in. And then if we get these in our mind, then the rest of the message will just kind of tag back to these, okay? So one category is following Jesus. God comes to people who have rebelled against him and says, follow Jesus, submit your life to him. Either make that decision or if you've made the decision, stick with that decision. So following Jesus, that's a big thing that God asks people to do. Another big thing that God comes and he asks people to do is to work with him, to work with him, to help other people follow Jesus. So whether that takes, you know, doing something with this or doing something with the people that you work with in your job or you go to school with, hanging out, doing studies, praying for someone, your neighbor over and over and over again, trying to find a way to talk to that person in your family who doesn't know Jesus, whatever that, it's helping people connect with God. That God gives us tasks to do that are related to helping people know him. So following Jesus, helping other people follow him. Another big category of things God gives us to do is spending time with him, being close to him. The way the story ends in Revelations 21, God lives with his people. Physically, we are with God. In the meantime, God invites people who are in a relationship with him to live in that communion, the way that someday we'll fully live with him when he comes back and we're with him. He says, in the meantime, he comes and gives us tasks. He says, listen to me. Listen to me. I haven't just given you this book so you can get cool multicolored fake leather covers and have a collection of different versions. I've given you this so you read it and you hear my voice. That's why I've given you this. I want to have a relationship with you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's why he pushes on us and says, talk to me like I'm a being, like I can hear you, our Father who art in heaven. Talk to me like I'm a person and speak to me. And that's why he tells his people throughout this whole narrative, fast. Stop eating for a day. Start with a day, 2 days, whatever. Take a day in every week, every month. Regularly take time and don't eat and bring intensity to your prayers and to your reading of the Word and let God live close to me. That's another category that he tells us, he pushes us in. Another way that he pushes us in, and this is kind of where it always gets tense, at least when I think about my life, and then we talk about it in public, it's tense. He tells his children, he regularly steps into our lives and pushes on us to leave a sin, to leave something that we know we should stop trying to stop doing and make a definitive decision that I'm not going to do that anymore. And he makes us uncomfortable, and every time we're involved in that, he says, he makes us feel bad about it. And it gets to the point where he says, I'm asking you to leave that, to leave sin. So following Jesus, working with Jesus, spending time with Jesus, and then living like Jesus by leaving sin. God pushes on us in these areas. Have you experienced that in your walk with God in these different areas? God's pushed on you and at different times said, hey, I want more in this area. I want you to spend more time with this person. I want you to find a way to study with this person. Or I want you to spend more time with me. Or it's like he's always pushing on us, right? Asking us to do more, to do different things, just like he did with Joshua. And real quick, before we look at how we do that, I want you to notice something in this. That I realize this first part of Joshua reads a lot like one of Paul's letters. You know how Paul always structured his letters? If you haven't seen this pattern, look at like Colossians or Philippians. Ephesians. He picks the first half and he says, this is what God has done for you. He doesn't say anything about what they're supposed to do. He just says, this is what God has done for you. He's chosen to love you. He's chosen to make you his children. He's chosen to make you new. He's done this incredible things for you. And then he says, if that's true, if God has done that for you, then this is how you should live. This is how you should respond. He does the same thing in Joshua. Look at this. God is, as he's giving Joshua his task, he's basing it on and he's filling it with, here's what I've done for you. Look at verse 2. He says, I'm taking you into the land. It's not, please would you go, Joshua, because I really want the people to go in the land. And unless he said, I'm taking the people in the land. Now get in front of them and walk. He's doing this. In verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Say, go into the land. Are they going to have to fight? Yeah. Are they going to have to, some of them die? Yes. Is it going to be hard? Yes. But he's saying, I've already given it to you. It's already yours. I've already worked. Then look down in verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Before God comes and says, do something for me, he comes and says, you're my child. I love you. I'm with you. That's where it starts from. It doesn't start from us trying to act like dearly beloved children of God so God will love us. It comes from God saying, you are my dearly beloved children. Now, act like what you are. Do the things that my dearly beloved children would and should do. That's why when God pushes on us to do something, that's why we say, okay, I'm listening. What do you want me to do? Now, why don't we do many times the things that God pushes on us to do? We spend months, sometimes years, making the decision to follow Jesus, and we go back and forth. Or we know God wants us to leave a sin, and we struggle against it, right? That's Christian speak for, I haven't really decided I'm going to leave it. Yes, once you make that decision, there is struggle that goes on. If you're struggling with a sin today and you're actively fighting against it, you know it's not easy. It's a struggle and it pops up unexpectedly. I'm not talking about that struggle. I'm talking about the kind of half-hearted, yeah, I'm working on that. I'm trying not to do that. It's like, have you decided that that's not going to be part of your life? Well, yeah, right. We've all been there, right? Because it's that, why don't we make those definitive decisions? When we have the idea, I should spend more time with this person and maybe try to pray for them and help them get to a point where I could study with them. Why don't we move on that? Have that family over for dinner, hang out with them, whatever people where you are do to hang out. Why don't we move with that? Why do we think about it? Why, when God gives us a good idea of something to do, why is our first reaction, I got to pray for that, which we should do, but it's not just pray for it. I should pray for that until God really tells me to do it. And now think about that. If God if we're God's children and we get an idea of something to do, something that's aligned with his will, that we know that's probably close to what God would maybe have me do. It's not a sin, and it's actually something very much in the way God would have me to do. Okay, the chances of that being from the Holy Spirit, from our idle imagination, or from Satan, where would you put that on there? Much more likely it's from the Holy Spirit. So what should our prayer be? Not, God, make me know if that's really your will. It should be, God, if that's not your will, make me know that you don't want me to go in that direction. Otherwise, I'm going to take that as probably what you want me to do. See how that's the opposite of how we normally... But why don't we step into the things God would have us do? What keeps us from it? Well, Joshua gets confronted with this by God in the next section. God repeats the same phrase three times. You probably saw it when it was read to us. And this is tied directly into why we don't many times do what God would have us do when he moves us. Joshua 1:6, God has just given Joshua a huge task. And whatever God has asked you to do right now and has been leading you towards, it's a big deal. Maybe not for someone else, for you it is, right? For you right now, that's a big thing to decide to do that. You fill in the that. So God comes to Joshua and says, I know it's going to be hard for you to do this. I know you're going to be tempted to think of reasons. And even though you've heard directly from me to have a prayer meeting and pray for a couple of months, if this is really what God wants us to do, be strong and courageous. And then I look down in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And then in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. See the theme? If you're awake, you see this theme, right? I mean, that's God couldn't. There's times when you have to look at the text and say, I wonder what God is saying. In this little chunk, God makes it exceedingly clear. When I ask you to do something, you have to be strong and courageous. Why? Because there's two things that happen when God asks us to do something. Two ways that we are not strong and courageous, and two different paths we normally go down. One is, God asks us to do things, and we just don't make the decision to do them. We don't step over and into them. And that is because in the moment we have a lack of strength, a lack of courage, a lack of, if this is what God is telling me to do, even if there's a 50% chance this is what God is telling me to do, and it's not a sin, right? But those two things are together, then I should probably step into it. It's being courageous enough to follow God as He leads us. And here's the thing. This is aside from God, you can read books about this. This is just a common phenomenon I've read some books lately about it. One's called The Flinch. It just came out. It's free on Amazon, the Kindle version. Really, really good book. Let me back up. There's some bad language in it, so I'm not recommending it with a blanket statement. The idea of the book is really good. But you're right, I'll take back that. If you're interested, there's some other books. I can't think of them right now. But the idea is that whenever we there's something new that we're going to step into, that there's resistance, that there's something in us that says, they're going to laugh at me. That might not work. What if? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. There's something in us that just like goes back and forth, and it's really hard to make decisive decisions. That's why it's easy to do things that it's like, we get in a habit of, I sit down, I watch television, and then I eat dinner, and then I watch more television, and I go to sleep, and then I get up, go to work. See, none of that, I don't have to like make a decision and start something and step out of my comfort zone. But when we have to step out of our comfort zone and start something new, when we say, okay, I've read about fasting in the Bible, I've heard about fasting from other Christians, I'm gonna fast. Every Tuesday, I'm going to start fasting. Immediately, just think that thought. Think that thought. Do this with me. Every Tuesday, I'm going to start. You don't have to do it. Just lie to yourself. Every Tuesday, I'm going to start fasting. Just say it like you were actually going to do. I'm not saying you should, if God's not telling you to, but just help. It's an exercise. So you're thinking that, right? Immediately, what comes up in your mind? It's like, not eat for a whole day. Well, what if I get lightheaded and I have a meeting on Tuesday and I'm not sure if, and does that even work? Isn't that for like the Israelites in the Old Testament? And that's kind of a weird, what am I going to feel? Is it going to really, and we have all these reasons for it. And what am I going to tell my wife? And is she going to think I'm stupid for, right? All those, whatever your thoughts were, I'm just telling you mine as they came to me. So whenever we think of doing something new or different, and whenever God pushes us to take a next step, you should spend more time with that person from work. You should spend more time with your neighbor because I want to pull him closer to me. We immediately come, and we don't make the decision. We don't step into what God is probably or even possibly leading us into. You know what happens when we don't do that? We miss out on what God is leading us towards. We miss out on living closer to God and making the impact on the world that He wants us to live. And another thing happens when we do start, and maybe you've experienced this, when we do start something that we feel God is telling us to do, it's really easy to do it once or twice and just feel, once we say, I'm going to do it, but then continuing. So God is leading you to like kind of focus spiritually on your neighbor, whatever that means. So maybe you're going to start praying for that family, and maybe you're going to have them over, and you do it a couple of times, and then nothing really happens. And all you did was talk about the Huskers, and maybe that's cool, maybe it bores you, I don't know. But either way, it didn't help them get closer to Jesus. And so you open up your home a couple times, and you pray for them for a couple weeks, and then nothing is really happening, and it's like, what do you do at that point? It's really easy just to kind of back off and say, I'm not sure. Maybe this wasn't where God was leading us. Maybe this isn't what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe is it? And we back off. You know how hard it is to do, for example, what Ben does, what his uncle does? Every week, get up and sing pretty much the same songs. I mean, there's 700, but over time it becomes the same set, right? To the same group of people, and somehow believe that God is using that and God is hearing that, and that is uniting God's people in praise to Him week after week after week. See, it's easy to say, I would love to lead singing once. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe that would scare the daylights out of you, but maybe you would. Maybe that's just like, wow, I could do it once. It's cool. I love singing. I love being in front of people, so I'll do that. But then every week, right? What about reading the Bible every day? Maybe you get the courage. I'm going to fast. I am going to fast this Tuesday. Okay, cool. I'm not telling you to fast Tuesday. I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I'm just saying. So you fast once, but then the next week rolls around. You're like, and then you do it again. And then you're like, I'm not sure if I'm or feeling anything. Or you read the Bible. Did you start out the new year reading the Bible every day? Maybe twice a day when you got up, when you went to bed. And then after a while, it's like, I'm not sure I'm getting a lot out of this. What do? We go back. We let it go. We stop doing what God has seemingly led us to start doing. So either we don't stop or we don't continue. That's why God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. When I tell you to do something, when I lead you into something, decide to do it and continue doing it. And I think that we are here this morning, that you're here this morning, because God has been pushing you towards starting something, doing something. He's been pushing you in that direction. You've had the idea and you're just not sure if it was from God, because we're not, right? I'm never more than 80% sure if things that I think are from God are from God. But you know you should do it anyway, because it's probably where God is leading you. And today, what we're going to look at in the next couple of minutes, in the next couple of verses, I think God wants to give you the courage and the strength to say, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to take a risk that it probably is from God, and I'm going to step into it and do it, and I'm going to trust that God will do whatever He wants through that. I think some of you are here today, this may be you, because God has asked you to do things, and you've been doing them, and lately you haven't been feeling it. And you're about, and you're kind of, maybe you've kind of stopped reading the Bible or stopped praying as much as you did before, whatever it is. Because you're not seeing results and you're not feeling it and you're just kind of going to let it go. And I think you're here today because God wants to tell us, be strong and courageous. When I've put you on a path, continue down that path, because you see results, not the first couple times you do something, but as you give your life to that. Be strong and courageous. So God gives Joshua three reasons. He says, be strong and courageous three times, and each time he gives him a different reason why he should be strong and courageous. And as we look at this, we can trace each reason for us back to Jesus. And through Christ, we can see three different reasons why we can be strong and courageous. Look at the first verse, verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. That's the first reason we're strong and courageous, because God has said, I have a job for you, and I'm going to do something through you. Jesus said, I'm building my church. I'm building my church, and you, my followers, go make other followers and bring them to the point where they get baptized, and then teach them to be my true followers and make other followers. But I'm making you you'll be my witnesses. I'm building my church. I'm going to do it through you. Romans 10, how will they hear unless someone tells them? I'm saving the world, but I'm doing it through you. And God says, so be strong and courageous, because I'm saving the world. I'm saving lost people. Even now I'm saving lost people, and I'm doing it through you. I want to save your neighbor. I want to save that person in your life that I've been pushing you towards hanging out more with. I want to save them. I'm going to save them. And I'm going to do it through you. So be strong and courageous, because it's not just like we get these weird ideas and maybe we'll make it work out. It's like God saying, no, I am doing this through you. So move. Second reason that we can be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because we have God's word. Because God has spoken to us, and through his word continues to speak to us. Hebrews 4:13, 12. This is a living and powerful book. God speaks when we read. Joshua had the five books prior to this. He had the law of Moses. He had Moses' books. We have this. God has spoken to us, and so we can be courageous and strong. Why? Because we've heard from God. And as we read this, we hear from God. And so it's not just us making up how to follow God, and it's not just us coming up with wild ideas for, you know, stupid things to do to throw our lives away and hopefully it makes a difference. We have heard from God, and so we can confidently follow him and reaching out to people who are far from him and spending time with people who are far from him in our lives. We can confidently follow him and read this and pray and fast. We can confidently follow him and stop the sin that is destroying our lives. We can confidently follow him. Why? Because we've heard his voice. We've heard his voice, and we hear his voice as we read this. And as we obey him, one theme that goes throughout the Bible is he is responsible for the consequences. He handles what happens when we listen and obey. So God says, you have my word. Now as I guide you, listen and obey, and be strong and courageous as you do that. One more. Have I not commanded you, verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is, what does it say? With you, wherever you go. Isn't that incredible? God says, I'm telling you what to do, and I'm going to do it. Now just get in front and go there, and I'm with you. I'm with you. Why can we be strong and courageous? Because we're not little islands by ourselves trying to do God's work, trying to be close to God somehow by ourselves. God is with his children, and that is the incredible promise that we have in Christ. Jesus said, I will send my spirit, and he will be with you, and he will dwell in you. John 14, we have God's spirit, the spirit of Jesus in us. God is with us to give us guidance, to give us strength, to give us words, to connect us with the Father. God says, when I lead you, be strong and courageous and move forward. When I've led you, be strong and courageous and continue with what I've asked you to do. Why? Because my spirit is with you. I am with you. That's incredible. So, be strong and courageous. Do what God has asked you to do. Continue doing what God has asked you to do. So just three questions to end. What has God asked you to, been asking you to do? See, I don't think you came here this morning to get new ideas for where God would be leading you. I think the way it works is the Spirit pushes on us, and we dig our feet in, and we think about it, and we come to moments like this where he says, move forward, take a step. What has God been leading you towards in your relationship with him, in your relationship with other people to help them get closer to him, or in sin that he's asked you to stop? What has he been pushing you towards? What is most likely, given how God has been guiding you as you've been reading the word and praying and thinking, the thoughts that have come to your mind, what is most likely the thing that God is asking you to do right now? Do you have something in your mind? I'm guessing you do. If you don't, take the afternoon and pray and say, Spirit, tell me what it is. What's the next step you want me to take? If you have something in your mind, or when you know where God is leading you, you should do that. Another question. What is the thing that you have been doing, and when you started that, you were pretty sure that's what God wanted you to do? Maybe it was something in your relationship with God, a routine of prayer or fasting or reading, or maybe it's something with reaching out to a person and trying to be their friend and get them closer to Jesus. Or maybe it's something with a sin and you decided, I'm going to leave that. And you started work and now you've been weighing over the last couple days, maybe the last couple weeks, you've been weighing, am I going to keep doing that? Am I going to keep doing that? Try this. Pick a day every week that you fast. Every week you'll have that conversation the day before. Should I keep doing that or not? Is that really... That's still what God wants me to do. Let's, what is that thing that God has asked you to do, and you're trying to think through, and it's not that God has given you something bigger, and it's like, well, I need to stop leading my home group because I need to go plant a church. That's, you know, taking a step forward. That's your faithful sum. God gives you more. That's a principle Jesus taught. It's not that. It's just you're just not sure this is really working anymore. But God led you into that. So what do you need to be strong and courageous in and continue going forward and say, I know God speaks to me through the Word. I know God is with me, and I know God is going to work through this. I'm going to continue down the path He set me down. Do you have something? Okay. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with what God has asked you to do that you should start doing? With what you're already doing that you should continue doing? What are you going to do with that? That's a question for you to think through and decide. And the message from Joshua is be strong and courageous. Listen and follow. Listen and follow. When we do this, the most incredible thing is that God takes the little insignificant things that He asks us to do, and He takes our perseverance in those things, and He changes the world through His followers. And we get to be part of that when we listen to our Father and obey Him and continue obeying Him even when we feel like stopping. Make sense? Okay. I would like a few more nods because otherwise we could keep going. There's more. God, we come to you right now together, and we thank you for being good to us. God, I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you would move in each one of our hearts and that you would make us say yes to what you've been leading us towards, that you would make us continue in what we've already been doing, that we would rather find an excuse to stop doing, that you would make us be strong and courageous and follow you and believe that you are with us and you are working through us and that we just need to follow. So God, I pray that you would give us strength and courage. In Jesus' name we pray. One more thing before we sing. If the thing God has been telling you to do is to make that decision to repent and be baptized and follow Him, that's a hard decision to make here, easy decision to make logistically. When you're ready, tell one of the men, and that very day you can be baptized. Why don't we stand and sing?